News, I'm Bob Levicky. As potentially dangerous triple-digit heat looms later this week, Rockingham and Augusta counties declare drought emergencies. Fewer Virginians sign up for health insurance using the state's health exchange, with the end of federal subsidies and higher premiums to blame. And on July 1st, Virginia's unemployment benefits increase and styrofoam begins to go away. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, June 29th. The boards of supervisors in both Rockingham and Augusta counties have declared drought emergencies. The Daily News Record reports the declaration opens the door for state relief money for farmers should Governor Abigail Spanberger declare an emergency. On July 18th, Spanberger asked communities and farmers across Virginia to take voluntary measures to conserve water. That includes watering plants and yards less, washing cars less, and limiting the filling of swimming pools. Some communities have tighter local restrictions. Drought conditions are worst east of the Blue Ridge. The Shenandoah Valley from Harrisonburg southward is listed under severe drought, but the U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia updated last Thursday shows extreme drought conditions for the counties of Nelson and Albemarle and areas eastward. Northern Virginia, including the Northern Valley, is under moderate drought. A Lexington man is missing after a hiking trip in Peru. The News Gazette reports that Ian Thomas Traeger, age 29, was supposed to have completed his hike May 20th. His mother, Michelle Ludwig, told the paper she was not worried at first when she didn't hear back from him. Cell service in the Andes is unreliable, and she thought he may have decided to tack on a visit to Machu Picchu, a well-known archaeological site. Traeger, who was raised in Rockbridge County and graduated from Washington and Lee University, has been missing since May 13th. Ludwig notified the Peruvian authorities that he was missing around May 26. Two divisions of Peru's police force have assisted in the search. Fewer Virginians signed up for health insurance using the state's health exchange this year. Higher premiums and an end to the federal tax subsidy are most likely to blame. Dean Mirshahi with VPM News has more.
Virginia's insurance marketplace under the Affordable Care Act offers coverage to people who are unemployed or don't have plans through their employer. Because Congress declined to extend cost-saving health insurance tax credits beyond 2025, premiums skyrocketed. Eleanor Sullivan is a Medicaid policy analyst for the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
A lot of these people were enrolled in the marketplace for several years. They simply just couldn't afford their premium and also paying rent.
State data shows about 17,000 fewer people signed up for coverage this year compared to 2025. Since January, enrollment has dropped by nearly 20%.
Dean Mirshahi reporting. Due to a new state law, Virginia's unemployment benefits will increase nearly $50. Maximum weekly unemployment benefits will increase to $478 for new claims filed on or after July 5th. The legislation passed this year will also increase the minimum July benefit amount to $160. The Virginia Employment Commission has an online unemployment insurance benefits estimator that uses an applicant's wages, employment history, and claim start date. You can find that at vec.virginia.gov. You're about to see a lot less styrofoam in Virginia. Starting July 1st, the state is fully implementing a ban on takeout containers made with a plastic foam formerly known as expanded polystyrene. The ban was passed in 2021, but former Governor Glenn Youngkin delayed its implementation over cost concerns from restaurant owners. Polystyrene is one of the most common pollutants found in Virginia waterways. Its crumbly nature makes it especially harmful and difficult to remove from the environment. State lawmakers are back in Richmond today. They are considering amendments to the state budget proposed by Governor Abigail Spanberger. The budget process this year was drawn out over taxes for data centers. Elected officials are running up against the clock to finalize the spending bill as funding runs out after Tuesday. Would you pay a 1% sales tax to help fix up your local school? Your locality might get that option if a part of Virginia's budget survives today's legislative session. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner has more.
on both sides of the aisle, people are looking for solutions because we've got over $25 billion worth of needs.
That's Roanoke Democratic Delegate Sam Rasool. Defending an optional 1% sales tax, localities could charge, pending voter approval, to help fund school improvements. Rasool has been pitching the bill for years, and it got bipartisan support the last time he put it before the body in 2024. But former Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed it, saying it, quote, could result in a nearly $1.5 billion a year tax increase on Virginians. It's back again in this year's budget bill. Current Governor Abigail Spanberger's office didn't respond to questions about the effort, but Rasool said no news may be good news. Senate Majority Leader Scott Surovell isn't the biggest fan of using the sales tax in this way, but it's been done before. According to reporting from the Virginia Mercury, Danville, one of the nine localities empowered to levy the tax in 2021, fared the best, raking in $30 million after voters approved it. Rasool's effort could expand the option to all Virginia localities, including those Surovell blames for failing to address aging schools.
Many of them have not shown the willingness to raise property taxes to a level that will allow us to have schools with non-leaky roofs and functional AC systems.
If the effort survives Monday's budget session, you may get the chance to vote on the tax increase on your ballot, but not this fall. This year's window to get referendums before the people closes Monday. Spanberger likely won't be able to sign the funding document until the day after. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Finally today, three Republican candidates are on the primary ballot in August to take on incumbent United States Senator Mark Warner, who is seeking a fourth term. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
The mainstream media sucks.
That's Republican candidate for the United States Senate, Bert Misuzawa. He's one of three Republicans who participated in a recent Senate candidates forum.
If there's one thing that we should learn from this redistricting amendment, is that they have ulterior motive. And I believe that's true with all three of these amendments.
Republican candidates running against Mark Warner will share the ballot with three constitutional amendments on abortion rights, voting rights, and marriage rights. Kim Farrington says she's opposed to all three, and she wants to protect the Second Amendment.
As the daughter of parents who owned one of the largest gun stores in Texas, I fully support the Second Amendment and will fight for our Second Amendment rights.
David Williams says it's important for Republicans to be united.
How are we going to start winning elections? How are we going to get those independents? But making sure that they stay under those conservative values and that we don't waffle and become a rhino.
Warner will enter the fall campaign with more than $13 million. None of the Republican candidates on the August ballot has more than a million so far. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Monday.